Connie Willis here on Coast to Coast AM. Our featured guest tonight is Derek Tyler. He's been on here before with his book that went to a bestseller on Amazon. Got to talk to him. It was Alien Contact, The Difficult Truth. He is a whistleblower. He was even on my YouTube channel before, and because, you know, it's video, he wore that, you know, mask to hide his face. So I've never seen him before. I've talked to him a lot and talked to his fiance a lot, but have never seen him before. And he is, that's for a reason. These whistleblowers got to watch out, that's for sure. Dangerous things happen, and Derek will be telling us about those things, I'm sure, tonight. He's got a new book that has come out. I don't know if it's officially out yet. I think Amazon kind of pulled back a little bit, or I think, I don't know, maybe it'll be on before midnight for sure. But Derek is a researcher. He's an author. Really eloquent writing, by the way. I mean, you know, when you do shows like this and you interview people, I like to have conversations. I like to say that. But when you talk with people that have written books, you know, some books, not everybody's an author. You know, they're just writing their stuff. It's cool. I get it. But I tell you, Derek's like, he's a true natural author. When you read his stuff, it just is smooth. It's eloquent. I think that's a good word. Even with the subject being of aliens and some really crazy things that are beyond what your mind can imagine, or maybe you would even like to even think never would exist. But it's just so eloquently written. And if you do get his book and you read it, I think you'll understand what I'm saying. It's just smooth. I don't, that's the words I can use. So he's also an abductee. Now, he's an alien abductee and a military abductee, and we'll talk to him about that tonight. And he specializes, of course, in the topic of UFOs and alien contact. Again, that first book was called Alien Contact, The Difficult Truth. That's what we talked about before. And I guess it's been like 2 years. I thought it was about a year, but, oh, I guess that's, it was 2 years to write that. Okay, so it's about a year since his last book. Well, anyway, it was an exciting book before, and here we go with the second one. He waited to talk about this with me, so I want to say thank you for that. I appreciate that. I kept saying, oh, let me have it exclusive on Coast. So he did that. So let's bring on Derek Tyler, the man with no face that we don't know what he looks like, and welcome him back here once again to Coast to Coast. Hey there, Derek.
Hello, Connie. Thanks for having me back on. By the way, if you can see my face, I'm terribly good looking.
That's great. You can say that and get away with it now, right?
Right, exactly.
Well, you know, you have a wonderful and beautiful fiance. I've definitely seen her face before, and I would think she would have good taste. So.
Yeah, I think she has good taste. I hope so, anyway.
Well, Derek, okay, so first of all, just, you know, you have a new book out. That's what we're going to talk about. Is it's not necessarily that it's just about your book. It's really about what you have learned. You just happen to, you know, write it all down in the book. But all the things that you have learned, theorized, put together, we're going to talk about that tonight. I do know you put the book out, but is it actually out? I know you've had trouble with Amazon today.
Yeah, I've had a little trouble with Amazon, but now it's just a matter of getting the file approved and posted. So it's not actually out yet, but I would expect probably sometime tomorrow afternoon or evening that book should be up for sale. And as soon as it goes up, I will, of course, send you a link to it, and I'll post a link on my Facebook author page to it also.
Okay, excellent. And okay, well, you know, you waited for me to be able to do the exclusive here on Coast, so I want to thank you. And then, you know, It's not always easy to coincide with all these things. The name of the book is Alien Contact, Paradigm Shift. The one before was The Difficult Truth. You had told me back when we were talking about the first one that you were going to do a series, and I think you said maybe 12 to 14. Do you still think you'll be doing that?
Well, it won't be 12 to 14. I planned on doing 5.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I think it will take, according to my original estimate, I think it will take probably the first 4 books to get through all the aspects of the subjects that I want to talk about and discuss and cover. And I thought that the final book might be a listing of all the different alien races that we're aware of, which have been visiting us, and a description of them as fully as I can manage to do.
Well, I got to tell you, I don't know if you heard me saying how eloquent you write. You have some really, of course, interesting stuff that's going on that you know about and you find out about and you research. However, you still write it poetically. So I appreciate that. It makes it easy to read, you know?
Very nice of you to say. I appreciate that. Thank you. I'm kind of a natural writer. I don't think I could have ever been anything else. I didn't ever expect that I would end up writing about this topic, but it just somehow became my destiny with the experiences that I've had.
Yeah, you almost didn't have a choice at that.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
It's not a fun subject for me to write about. It's stressful, it's frustrating, and it's dangerous. And I do it anyway because I feel it's my responsibility. Somebody has to do it, and I go to great lengths to be as accurate and careful as I can to make sure that everything that I put in the books is right on the money to the best of my ability. And I also try to pack as much information into them as I can. So when you get one of these books, you're going to be flooded with information.
Well, you do that. You're right. But you know what? You also still add humor. And I mean, you actually laugh reading your book. It's funny.
Yeah, I tried to do that. So the first book was kind of uniformly grim. But this time I found a way to put in some humor, and I thought that would give people a chance to catch their breath between especially maybe difficult chapters, let's say, or frightening chapters, because it's a lot of this, a lot of things about this topic are frightening, or they're bizarre, or they're difficult to understand, and it's just part of the territory. You have to deal with that if you want to research this topic, because there's no way around it.
Well, you know, there's so many different topics in your book. I don't have any rhyme or reason in any order. So I'm just going to ask you, you know, some questions and see where it goes along the way. Okay.
Sure.
Okay. So let me say this. I Ubered over here to the radio station here at KOA in Denver, news radio in Denver. And the Uber guy and I were talking, and we were talking about animal mutilations, and you know, I was telling him about there's a lot of that in Colorado Springs area. And I was telling him about there's no blood. And I thought about in your book, and I told the guy as well, about where the grays pull out the blood and they get the adrenaline going, and it's a high for them. So can you tell me about that? That was pretty interesting to me.
Well, the mutilations themselves, I don't know whether they're done by the Greys or by our Black Ops forces and on behalf of the Greys, but it's true. The Greys don't have a digestive tract like we do. They don't have an esophagus or anything like that. So they are forced to take in and excrete nutrients through the skin.
Ugh.
And that's the reason that you'll hear a lot of abductees will say that if they've been taken on the Greys spacecraft, that they smell terrible up there. That's why, because their skin gets covered with, among other things, human blood. And they seem to get a high from scaring people as much as possible when they're being abducted, and then withdrawing a tube or two of blood, and then they put it in their mouths and absorb it through their pores in their mouth. But as far as the animal mutilations go, they are obviously done with very high-tech methods. The eyes, the tongue, and some of the organs are incised surgically with laser instruments. And the blood is drained to the last drop out of these animals. And it occasionally happens to humans, too. It's not just animals. You'll never hear about that in the news, of course, but it has happened to humans as well. And they cover it up very quickly so that the word doesn't get out. But
when that happens, Derek, okay, so When a human is taken like that, and whatever happens to them, you know, that's a terrible thing that would be what happened to them. But when that happens and they cover it up, I mean, how do they cover it up with the rest of the family too?
Well, they generally, one case I'm familiar with, the person was actually taken right out of their car when they were on the road, and they were inserted back into the car after they'd been mutilated and killed. And apparently, I mean, the one concept that was difficult for me to come to terms with, but it's true, is that they have the ability to manipulate time. And they put this person back in the car with no passage of time. Okay, they put him back in at the same time they had taken him. And the car immediately veered off the road and crashed, and the authorities told the family that the body was too badly mutilated to view or have an open casket funeral. They disposed of the body themselves. They weighted the coffin down with rocks or whatever, or a fake body, and the family never got to view the body at all. And nobody, and of course, in the press was ever notified.
I got you.
And that's it's extreme, but that is the lengths that they will go to in order to keep this stuff covered up.
So somebody's in the know of when this happens, even if it looks like a regular car accident or anything else, even before they get there, they already know.
When the tongue and the eyes are cut out by laser instruments and somebody's found in their car, the authorities, you know, the military is going to quickly be all over it, and they know what's going on. There are people within it that will know what's going on. And as soon as it gets to them, the deception machine kicks in. And they will, the military is into this so deeply by this point, and they've done so many things that we would severely disapprove of if we knew, that they will do anything in order to keep the news in-house, so to speak. They won't take any chances of letting it get out into the press. And, of course, the press, under pressure, will do what they're told.
So let me ask you this. Like, let's say the ambulance, the paramedics show up, or the police are there, whoever's first on the scene, they see this laser-cut pieces of body gone with laser cuts, and so they go, holy cow. Are they told to call somebody else, and that's how come the military knows immediately what's going on, and then later does somebody zap the paramedic's mind or the police officer's mind to where they don't remember that, or are they told, do not say anything?
I can't say for sure what they do to them. I know that it's possible to do that. I presume that they're at some point given instructions that to, if they see something strange like that, to report it to a certain...
Some sort of protocol? Wow.
Certain authority. But I know that the... I don't know that they zap their memories. They might just scare them into silence, which is very possible to do, because you don't have to threaten someone's life to scare them into silence. You just have to say, you know, we won't come after you, but we'll kill everyone in your family.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's gonna risk that, you know. Nobody's gonna take that chance. And I know that when people work in places like Area 51 and Dulce Base, it wasn't always this way, but it is now. Most of the time, maybe all the time for all I know, when you come off your shift, you have to agree to undergo chemical memory erasure at the end of your shift, which is another way of saying they're going to drug you and probably hypnotize you as well. And the drugs are so advanced at this point that they can literally say, well, we want you to forget everything that happened in the last 8 hours, and they'll know just what dose to give you, and your memory will be erased. And so you'll never know what you did while you were there. And they can do this also with troops that are... The military is responsible for a very large percentage of the abductions. They have methods that they use, which a lot of them involve alien tech, to disguise themselves as aliens when they perform the abductions. They want people to think it's aliens that took them for two reasons. One is it keeps the military from being held responsible, and the second reason is, as soon as someone tells them they were abducted by aliens, people stop listening to them.
Yeah, they think they're a nut. Yeah, yeah.
But they can erase the memories of these troops, which are engaged in abducting people, just like they do the people that work at Area 51. They can erase their memory, and they won't even know that that's what they did.
Man, well, even through aggression, you know, the hypnosis, can it get in there if you're good enough? Can you somehow trick the drug and find a way through hypnosis?
Well, if you know that something's happened to you, you could. But of course, as far as the military people are concerned, it's part of their job. They either sign the paper agreeing to it, or they're not given that assignment. They're transferred laterally, and they'll never have a chance to work with alien tech again. As far as the abductees go, memory erasure is very advanced, but it's not a perfect science. It's possible for people to retain memories of abductions. The way that happened to me was, for some reason, I had a habit of waking up as soon as I was returned home in the middle of the night. And if you do that, sometimes you'll remember what was just done to you, at least part of it, maybe not all of it. But if you sleep through till morning, memories will be gone. And the most you'll get is you might think you had a very strange dream. But it is possible. And, of course, as you know, some people have regained their memories by undergoing hypnotic regression, which seems to be effective, but I think it's a bad idea for most people. I mean, I certainly am not going to do it myself, and I don't recommend it for anyone, because when you undergo hypnotic regression, you are forced to relive those experiences. And there is absolutely nothing fun or pleasant about an abduction. It's terrifying. It's intrusive. It's often very painful. And if you are abducted and you don't remember it, thank the gods that you don't remember it, is my attitude. Because you don't want to have to relive that and then remember it for the rest of your life.
Derek Tyler with us here on Coast to Coast AM. Connie Willis here. We are talking to a real whistleblower. And we're going to find out more about what he's talking about when we come back. Thank you for listening to Coast AM. It's Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie, but tonight it's Connie Willis. I'm one of the weekenders here, and I absolutely love being here. Tonight we are talking to whistleblower Derek Tyler. He's been on here before with his first book, The Difficult Truth, and you know, Alien Contact, The Difficult Truth. And now he's got a second book out. It's not out officially yet, but it will be on Amazon. having an interesting time with them, right? It's funny how a lot of people, too, in the UFO world will say, you know, there's a reason somebody's holding this back. You know, everything was fine, and we had some problems. And you guys know as well, it's always a classic coast that you talk to somebody, especially a whistleblower, and for some reason something happens where, you know, it goes off the air, or, you know, a lot of noise starts to happen. But hopefully tonight we get the story in, and we've worked on the technology to where people can't get in and hack us. You know, we've done our best, but now, you know, you got to deal with Amazon, and there's problems there. So we didn't even think about that, right, in the making of this show. Derek, welcome back to the show. Right before we left, you were talking about abductions and how horrible they are. You know, you claim as well in this book and the last book about being an abductee, and not just an abductee, but, well, an alien and a military one. First of all, some people think it's only alien. So can you talk a little bit more about the difference between alien abductee and military abductee, as well as what the experience is like?
Sure. And by the way, I'd like to thank you for playing those particular songs during the breaks, because one cool and unique thing that I did with both my books is at the beginning of every chapter, I started off with a quote from an official source, and then I match it up with a section of a rock and roll lyric that matches the chapter. And the song you just played by 10 Years After, I used as a quote in this book, I think. It says, "I'd love to change the world, but I don't know what to do." Which seems
we did that. We did that just for you.
Yeah, thank you. That's very cool.
Yeah, yeah.
The military, if you've been abducted by the military, you have first been abducted by aliens, and they have a way of knowing who is taken. I don't know what it is, but they work with aliens every day, and they have for well over half a century now.
When you say they, who is they?
Right, and they...
Who's they? The government or military?
It's the black ops part of the military. It's, of course, very highly classified and very highly secured. It's so highly classified that they had to invent new classification levels in excess of what they used for the Manhattan Project. And It's even more secret than that. As you go up the chain of command, the president has security clearance 16 levels above top secret, compartmented, code-worded levels of classification. But there are 16 levels above that, which he does not have access to.
Mm.
So that's, and at the very top level, which is, as I understand it, the only level which has complete access to the unredacted full amount of information we have about alien contact, there are probably only 12 people that have that clearance, and it doesn't even officially exist. You don't even know that clearance level exists unless you have it.
12 people, that's it.
Yeah, they say that over time it's varied between 12 and 20 people, but it's never been more than 20. So
do you know anything else about those 12 to 20 people by chance? Like, are they all from the states? Are they all representing all the countries?
Oh, no, they're not representing all the countries by any means. Because, well, for one thing, we have gained access to quite a bit of alien technology over the years. And we've done it from one way is that we find the technology in crashed disks and we reverse engineer it. I had one of my best friends was an engineer who was contracted by both the Air Force and NASA, and one of the things that he did was he worked on reverse engineering some of this tech, and some of it has been given to us as part of a secret treaty that we signed long ago with the wrong side, as it turns out. But they don't want this alien tech to be in the hands of other nations. They want to keep it to themselves, of course.
Uh-huh.
So they're not going to let people from other countries into the on the secret, let's say. Some of the people in that group are the president. When Eisenhower was the president, he lost control of the alien contract program by allowing people from let's say from Lockheed, Bell Labs, some of their top people, like the person who's Kelly Johnson, who's the head of the Skunk Works project for Lockheed, was one of the people who had full access. And it is still that way today. Some of these people that have the full access are barons of industry, let's say, or they're working in labs that need to have this information for some kind of job they're doing. So, you know, I obviously don't have a list of those names because I don't think anybody does. But it's there. And the
what power they have.
Yeah.
That's incredible power.
Right. That's exactly right, because alien contact or alien technology is beyond anything that we can imagine. It's sometimes literally millions of years ahead of us. And we can't understand some of it any more than a caveman could understand a turbocharged engine, you know. Some of it, it's thought that we don't have the intelligence as a race to ever be able to really understand. But some of it we have been given, and some of it we have reverse engineered. And the military very rarely shares any of that with the public. They keep it to themselves, and they plan to do so indefinitely. Some of it that has been released to the public has been done carefully. They give it to a contractor that does a lot of business with the government, and they say you can commercialize this tech and release it, say you invented it in your lab, and the condition is that you don't tell where you got it. Some of that lasers are an example of that. Fiber optics are an example of that. There are others, but if the government releases it to the public, they only do so when they are many generations ahead of what they release to the public. For instance, holographic technology was released to the public, but the government is massively ahead of anything that we can do with holograms here, and we can do a lot now with holograms. They have the ability to project holograms into the air with full sound effects, and it will look just like the real thing. You can't tell the difference, and they've had that ability since before Desert Storm. But as one of the military officers told me privately, by the time we release it to the public, we're so many generations ahead of that technology that it's outdated and useless to us, and right. We're sure that nobody will ever be able to catch up to us.
Right, right, yeah. And I've heard that along the way, too. One of my brothers worked at a, um, He had special clearances from he was in the Air Force, and he had special clearances, not above the president like you're talking about, but even the stuff that he worked on, he said you wouldn't see for 20 years. I think, you know, I don't know if you remember this or anything, but I remember seeing a show. I just saw a piece of it, but there was a show where, you know, after Michael Jackson had passed, there was this show where they did some sort of holographic stuff where he was dancing on stage for an entire show, and it looked like the real thing. Do you remember that?
It looked just like the real thing. Well, I saw the one they did with Tupac.
It's amazing.
It looked just like him, and they've done the same thing with whales and dinosaurs. They can have a dinosaur walking right across the room to you, and it'll look like the real thing. They can have a whale or a dolphin come out of your floor, and it'll look like it's coming out of the ocean, and it looks just like the real thing. You can't tell the difference. And that is technology which is antiquated and archaic and outdated from the military's point of view.
I can't imagine what is in the future.
The chemtrails is that they are spraying. There are many, many reasons that they spray chemtrails, and none of them are for our benefit. But one of the things that they spray is nanoparticles of aluminum into the atmosphere. And one of the reasons that this is done is because it effectively turns the atmosphere into a great big video screen when they want to project holograms on it. And an example of that is if you go back and look at the film of the second plane crashing into the WTC on 9/11, you can see that on the most commonly played clip, if you look at it closely, you'll notice that the left wingtip of the plane passes behind a building which is across the street and behind the WTC, which is physically impossible if it's a real plane. It's a hologram, and that was a glitch. But that it looked like a real plane, and it sounded like a real plane when it came in, and people thought that's what they were seeing. But that is the level of expertise that is available to our military.
Well, that's interesting. I've heard that theory before, but I'd never heard it described as what, you know, the reason behind it and how. So that's interesting, because I thought, oh, that sounds like something they could Photoshop, but you have a whole different look at that. Okay, that's good.
It's all another subject, but
yeah, absolutely.
There was no plane to crash into anything that day, and it can be easily proven. They have multi-ton titanium engines, which are indestructible. The only thing harder than titanium is diamond. They can't be crushed. They can't be shattered. There wasn't a titanium engine found at any of those crash sites. No airplane debris at all.
Well, it's still, you know, you said it was a different subject. Not really, though, because you're talking about the technology that the alien technology that we got to be able to do that reverse technology, right?
We've been given a lot of technology. They're not going to give us any technology that would allow us to catch up to them. You can't really catch up to a civilization which is so far ahead of you as that. You know, you can't put on an extra shift and catch up to it.
Well,
so,
you know,
you can try.
Well, actually, as well, by the way, too, with the subject, it's September 9th or 10th right now, so it's actually, we're going to be talking about it more here on Coast to Coast on September 11th, but, you know, we're right around the anniversary of it, too. By the way, about a week or so before, I was there before 9/11 happened, and I was with a family. We were going up to the top of the towers, you know, the tourist thing, you go to the top and look, and it was crazy. And just to tell this real quick, this story, since we went into it, this is crazy, but it was true. Before going up, you get your picture taken, you know, you're going up to the towers, you know, and you get your picture taken. And when we got the picture back, it was an 8x10. And the picture, I kid you not, something said to me as I looked at it, this is a piece of history.
Wow.
And yeah, and I went, what? Why was this piece of history? And it did. It even looked like, you know, when you go to some sort of one of these like Western towns on the West Coast of the United States, these old cowboy Western cities, and you get those pictures taken, you put on the outfits and all that, and they change the color of it. It even kind of like looked like that. But that was pretty crazy. I questioned myself when I looked at it and kind of heard that given to me kind of thing. And I said, what history, huh? This is modern day. This is cool. Don't even know why that was the case, but it was very strange, very weird.
Tower collapse, you notice that they collapse at free fall speed, and that is physically impossible. As if the bottom of the tower is connected to the earth, it can't collapse at free fall speed, because the rest of the tower will provide resistance to the falling mass on the way down. Slowly pancake. So what happened is the base of those towers were disconnected from the ground by explosives and by nanothermite.
Well, I can tell you too.
Collapse like that. And if you look at the original hole in the Pentagon, it was only 16 feet wide. Those planes are 150 feet wide. I live right by the Boeing plant that builds them. You can't fit a 150-foot plane through a 16-foot hole. The wings would snap right off.
This is going to have to be on your in your next book. You're going to have to talk about that kind of stuff, right?
That book would get me killed if I put that down.
Well, we're going to be talking more about this kind of stuff on September 11th with George Knapp. So make sure you guys hear more about what's going on with 9/11. The anniversary, of course, is coming up, and whatever George will have will be interesting for sure. He's always interesting to listen to here on Coast to Coast. So, Derek, let's go back. I'm sorry to take you there. No, that's fine. I love this. It's wherever the story goes, it's cool. So I was asking you the difference between an alien abduction and a military one. And by the way, you know as well as most people know that some people love to be, you know, I'm a contactee instead of I'm an abductee, because an abductee is a bad, evil thing. And a contactee is somebody that loves it. So you say you're an abductee. You don't like it.
Yeah, there's quite a difference. There's no such thing as a friendly abduction, of course. So an abduction is by definition an unwelcome and...
It's against your will.
Experience. And under our laws, an abduction is a capital crime.
True.
You can be sentenced to death for kidnapping under our laws.
Right.
And the military is, of course, engaged in that same activity. And they do it for a variety of reasons. I probably don't know all the reasons, but...
Yeah, why would it be military? You know, I mean, you always hear about alien abductions. Why would the military abduct people?
Well, two of the reasons I know are that once you've been abducted by aliens and returned home, there's a period of several hours, which you normally would sleep through, where your any natural psychic abilities that you have are greatly enhanced for some reason. I don't know why. But one thing that the military will do is they... seem to have a way of knowing who is taken by aliens, and they'll come sometimes and take you a second time in the same night, and they will use you as a remote viewer for involuntary spy missions. And when the enhanced ESP starts to wear off, they return you home. And it's very nefarious. It was hard for me to believe, but the military also has time travel capabilities. So it's one of those things that we think the military is 30 or 40 years ahead of us. No. They're very much farther ahead of us than that.
So you're saying they come back once they for some reason, somehow know, kind of like Google knows everything about you, they somehow know that you've been abducted, and then they come and they take you so that they can learn what just happened to you?
Sometimes they do that, exactly right.
Interesting.
And I had quite a few memories of my abductions, both of military and alien. And I only have one memory of being returned home. And it involved being sent back in time by the grave. They returned me home at the same time they had originally taken me. So it was like I had never been gone at all. And anyone who's sleeping beside me would think I never left, because they knock out everyone in the house. They put you to sleep whenever they want to. And it was like I had never been gone at all. If anyone was sleeping right beside me, they wouldn't be able to know.
Isn't that something? Wow, that is incredible. Whistleblower Derek Tyler with us here on Coast to Coast AM. Connie Willis here talking about abductions, military, alien, their technology, and what we know. So Derek's going to tell and reveal more of the secrets that he's found out along the way. I hope that you stick around. I want to ask him about super soldiers and the soul as well. So stay with us. Connie Willis here. You're listening to Coast to Coast AM.